Hey everybody, it's Connor. Another week, some more drama. Thank you so much for finding us, finding the pod. If you're new, welcome to the party. If you're not new, thanks for coming back for more. Every Wednesday, we release a new episode with a thrilling special guest, and this week is no exception. We've got the unbelievably talented and extremely kind and fun and good-hearted Gray Henson on the pod, who's currently starring in Shucked, and you're gonna love this episode. But before you listen, I want to tell you about our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month you can support the pod, your favorite twins, get added to our Instagram close friends, you get bonus episodes delivered to you, which I know is exactly what you're wanting. You're kind of thinking, wait, one episode a week isn't enough. I need more drama. I need the twins. I need Connor. I need Dylan. So go to patreon.com/dramapodcast. Subscribe. Support the pod. Rate us 5 stars. Follow us. Tell all your friends about us. And enjoy this episode with Gray. You're going to love him just like we do. All right. See you in a few minutes.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. We have been talking about it all season long on our Patreon page. But any final thoughts, anything you want to say before the Tony nominations come out on Tuesday?
I feel as if everything I've been thinking about what's going to happen is not going to happen.
Okay. Like,
I've been feeling really strongly for some reason for months about Some Like It Hot and Anne Juliet getting a lot of nominations. And now randomly, I'm wondering if that's not going to happen.
I don't know. I love all the new musicals this season. And so,
you know what it is? There's so many, I'm speaking specifically in like acting categories. There's so many revivals too. Also, I've been really confident about like lots of Into the Woods acting nominations. And now I don't know anymore. I have a feeling because here's the thing. If Philippa Sue wouldn't have gotten such great reviews for Camelot, I would have said, okay, maybe she would have been featured for Into the Woods.
Okay.
But because it seems like she is the toast of the town from Camelot as the leading lady, I think that clears up a spot in featured because I don't think they'll nominate her twice. Although it's probably happened before. And
it did most recently with Jeremy Pope.
Well, but not in the, was that in the same category? Wasn't one of them play and musical?
In one, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, I'm feeling uncertain suddenly. I was so confident we were going to get like a Gavin Creel nomination, that we were going to potentially get Sarah Bareilles in lead. But now I'm wondering, is it too long? Is it too long since Into the Woods happened? What do you think?
I don't know. I think that this season actually, funnily enough, reminds me a little bit of like 2017, 2018, where we had a lot of musicals coming in and a lot of possibilities. I do think that Sarah's going to get in.
You do?
I do. That's going to be my big prediction for today. But as far as the new musicals go, I think that we're going to see some good vibes for a show called Shucked, which you've seen, you've loved. Everything I've seen, I've loved. I'm coming to see it in like 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
And we're so lucky to be speaking with someone from the cast today.
I'm gagged. I mean, you were speaking of the 2017-2018 season. Wait, what is it? Is it the year that the Tonys happen? It's considered that season or... Yeah.
Yeah. Like
that was 17, right? Mean Girls, SpongeBob.
18.
18? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. A season that needs to be studied in a documentary in many years to come, similar to that documentary they did in like 2004 with like Wicked, Carolina Change.
Agreed.
Taboo and Avenue Q. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That season was drama because the voters went down the line for one musical. That was drama.
Which I hate that. I love when it's spread around like.
Me too.
I don't know what would be spread around.
I famously on the record was like on this very podcast, I was like, Taylor Lautman should have won that year for Mean Girls.
I know.
Which is a bold statement, but no one else could have done it like she did it. And I really feel like that was, I mean, Katrina Lenk, we love you, but I don't know. For some reason, I feel like the iconic performance was Taylor's, but there was another iconic performance that I am so happy got a nomination.
Oh,
and
I know.
It was our guest today playing Damien and Mean Girls, which we're going to get into right now. How about I just do the introduction and we can talk Tonys, we can talk anything we want. with him, because he was also shaving during that entire intro. I need our listeners to sort of meet us where we are today and know that there was a razor involved.
Not Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
not Sweeney. That's another revival I didn't even think of. Like, what is Ruthie Ann Miles getting in for Featured? We're really, there's a lot happening. Okay. Anyway, the topic at hand. Our guest today is a Tony Award and Drama Desk nominee for Best Performance by an Actor in a Featured Role in a Musical for Mean Girls, where he brought the beloved role of Damien to life. He also starred as Elder McKinley on Broadway and in the national touring companies of Book of Mormon, toe-tapping and side-splitting with his triple threat talent to a Helen Hayes Award nomination. This Georgian native has also recurred on Girls 5 Eva, Suburgatory, and appeared on the silver screen in A Journal for Jordan, directed by Denzel Washington. A graduate of Carnegie Mellon University, our guest slayed in Assassins and Sweeney Todd. Okay, the razor comes back into it. Among other shows, you can currently see this absolute icon on stage in this season's Shucked as Storyteller 2, continuing his streak of making audiences laugh their asses off in a Broadway theater. We're so grateful to be in the presence of greatness today. Please welcome to drama, Gray Henson.
Wow, that was the best introduction I have ever received.
Do you mean it?
Seriously, that was phenomenal. Yes. And it made me feel way fancier than I actually am.
Oh my gosh. Gray, we feel like we are truly in the presence of a legendary legend, as we say on Drag Race, All Stars, All Winners. at least that's what we said last summer.
Yeah, well, they go back to like none of the queens going home on this season. Okay, I'm really jumping on topics here.
I kind of love that though, because then you get to see their entire wardrobe, like everything they brought.
Totally.
First topic.
I'm going to save this for Dose of Drama at the end, because this could take up the entire podcast. Okay.
Totally.
Gray, we're finding you backstage at Shucked right now.
Yes.
Connor and I are obviously obsessed with you. I'm sorry if the Tony's chatter at the beginning made you feel a little pins and needles or triggered for when you've previously been in the mix, as we say.
Oh, no. It is like stressful to even think about that kind of thing. It's like when your art becomes a competition, I think for anyone, that's a weird thing to navigate. But for Mean Girls, it was like such a surprise. So it was like fun. And I think it happened because I was just having fun. And I got to play like a high school version of myself in that show. And it was a blast. And then the nomination came out and I was like, oh. And then that's when the demons, my inner saboteur, sort of reared its ugly head. And I had to think like, oh, now I'm a Tony nominated actor and I have to act like one. Mm. So yeah, the season is so exciting and fun. And I mean, who doesn't love the Tony Awards?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a special kind of insanity that sort of comes along with it. But we're in the middle of, hoping that Shucked does well this season. And I think it might, because it's so special and sweet and completely original. So we're sort of banking on some things coming through.
I love the way you said that.
I think so. I mean, I laughed my booty off when I saw Shucked. You're so funny, Gray.
Thank you. It's such a fun, silly role. And I remember getting the audition because a friend of mine, Taylor Trench, played the role in Utah. They did their out of town in Utah this past fall. And he left to go do Camelot. Right. And we have the same rep. And so I called him. I was like, tell me about the show. He's like, it's so amazing. It's so special. And the audition was, the name of the character is literally Storyteller Number 2. And so on paper, it seems like, what am I, Barista Number 3 and like Gilmore Girls? Like, that's what it felt like. And I was like,
okay, dream role.
Honestly, though, dream role. Yeah. But the material is so special. The book is so strong. Robert Horne wrote it. And I don't like, it's not a crazy heavy sing for me, this show, but the music in the show is so special. I love country music, and country music itself is so narrative based. And so it lends itself to musical theater in such a beautiful way. And I don't know why we aren't making more country. I mean, Dolly needs to write more musicals, I think.
That's true. I mean, she, I guess, wrote like 100 songs for 9 to 5, and they had to whittle it down to like the 15 or 16 that are in it. So
I believe it. I mean, she's special. And as are Brandy and Shane, who wrote the music for Shuck. So anyway, yeah, it's like, it's just fun. It's a joyful, sweet, simple show that knows exactly what it is. And I think people come in honestly with low expectations and come out being like very delightfully entertained and surprised by how great the show is. It's got a lot of heart, and then it just people just laugh for 2.5 hours, and like that in itself, I think, is really healing, and it's fun for us to do too.
I can't really remember a time where there was something that was so unexpected that opened on Broadway like this. Maybe the prom. I don't know. It's
sure.
You know, it's hard to like kind of pinpoint things. Everything's so different. But I am. It's like at the top of my list for when I'm coming in a couple of weeks, because
yeah, I think you'll like it.
Everything I've heard is just amazing, and I'm a sucker for country too. Although I'm not from Georgia. Like, is that where you cut your teeth on the country music?
Yeah. Well, actually, funny story. I was literally born in Nashville because my mom was speaking at the Grand Ole Opry Hotel for some conference. And I was the last of 5 kids for her. So at that point, she like forgot she was pregnant, I guess. And I was born 2 days early. And so her water broke in the hotel the night before she's supposed to drive back to Macon, Georgia, where we're from. And so I was born in Nashville. So I do have I'm like rooted in the country music scene, but never lived there. Just my birth certificate's from Nashville, and then grew up in Macon, Georgia. Yeah. So a small little country gay boy is my story.
How old are you when you came out?
I didn't officially come out until like graduating high school senior year into college.
You're ready for a fresh start.
Yeah. But it was also something that I knew since, I mean, I played with Barbies. I was in ballet class when I was 3 or 4. Like I was obviously gay before I even knew what that meant.
I always say that too. I'm like, I knew I was gay before I knew what the word meant, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew I was different. I remember like, I didn't realize that it was even weird for me to play with dolls until I was watching TV and I realized, oh, it's only girls playing with dolls.
And did you have sisters? Is that why the dolls were in the house? Or did you ask your parents
for
them?
Asked for it. That's what I wanted. And they were so supportive and they were great. I mean, my mom is the one that put me in dance class. She actually took me to one ballet studio and the dance teacher turned me away. She was like, boys aren't supposed to dance this young. And my mom was like, okay, well, screw you. And took me to another studio. And that's where I danced my whole, you know, adolescence into high school. But yeah, I didn't officially come out until I went to college, where obviously I went to Carnegie Mellon theater school and like I showed up and I was like the gay kid. Mm-hmm. And not even in a way that was like, finally I can be myself. I was just myself, but it was like with other people that I knew accepted me. Not that anyone in Georgia didn't, but it's different growing up in a smallish town.
Yeah. So were you like, was it college when you were like finally having your first boy kiss, when you were finally hooking up, or did you like hook up?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know we were talking about that on drama, but fierce.
We don't have to, we can skip.
No, it's good. No, it's fine. I mean, I was young when I had a boy like that was a year old who I did theater with, who like I sort of experimented with. And I think that's what a lot of gay men and queer people in general, I think, are sort of robbed of, is that adolescent like flirtation and exploration that straight kids can do and get away with because it's charming and it's expected. And so I was lucky enough to have that with someone when I was young, like 10, 11.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, you know, we were just best friends and we would like, you know, hang out all the time. And I think he's, you know, married to a man now and happy somewhere. We should reconnect. But yeah. So I did that for sure. And then in high school, I remember knowing I was gay, but not wanting to come out yet. And so I just kind of became asexual. I didn't label myself that way, but I was just like, I don't date anyone, you know, and I'm focused on becoming an actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm triggered. This is scary. This was how Connor and I were.
Oh, I'm sure that like the three of us, I should be the triplet here. I'm sure that like we are the same in so many ways.
I feel it, for sure.
I always joke that we were stunted from not having those like adolescent crushes and working things out in my teen years. Like, and now I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years and I was like in my 20s experiencing things that 13-year-olds were experiencing. And it was like,
yes, that is, have you guys read The Velvet Rage, that book?
No, yeah. It's on my bookshelf though. So people probably think I've read it.
Randomly, yeah. I've read it even though Dylan's the reader.
Hilarious. I don't think I finished it. I also think I started it and then I was like, oh, this is a little scary and a little too close to home. But what I did read really struck a chord with me because yeah, I think we are delayed in many ways. And then so that's why you get, you know, there's a big scene culture and a bar culture and a hookup culture. And that's really common in the gay community because you don't really get to do a lot of that when you're young. And so right. you have all these like sort of Peter Pans running around, these like man children in New York City, just kind of going crazy, which is good. You have to get out of your system and figure out what you want. And so me being 32 now, it's like, sometimes I worry, I'm like, God, why am I not in a relationship? Why am I not married? It's because it took some time.
Yeah.
We're settling in.
Now, but being from the South, it's also probably double pressure because I know that people get married very young in the South.
Well, not to hate on anyone from my hometown, but I never felt that pressure because all of my people, the people I grew up with that I'm still in touch with, it's a small group of people. They all got out, right? And I definitely that's why I still have Facebook, so I can go on and stalk people from high school who are all lovely, but yes, married with children and mm-hmm. children that are, you know, deep into school now.
Oh yeah. It's jarring. It is. Oh God, that's crazy. We just had our 10-year reunion in the fall, and it was an experience of like, oh my God, like you have a child.
I know. Shocking. Imagine being a parent right now. I could never.
Mm-mm. Can't even have a dog. Listen, we've been getting into we're so into this already. I'm kind of just curious how you're doing though, because we've kind of touched base about the season and we're already getting into your backstory, but are you well, Gray?
Yes, I'm doing really well. I'm very happy to be back on stage. I left Mean Girls on March 8th, 2020. And I left with Barrett and Kate Rockwell, and we all left at the same time. There was this big going away party. We had our replacements set up to go in. Erica Henningsen had left like a week before us, and our replacements got to do three performances at that show. Anyway, so the timing was odd where I left and entered that pandemic. So I was ready for a break because I had just done that show for 2 years on Broadway. And then, you know, the pandemic, not that anyone wants to still talk about it. It was, you know, it was weird and hard. And I was like trying to navigate what I wanted to do coming out of it. And Shuck fell into my lap and I just leaned into it. And I'm having the time of my life. It's so fun. I feel like I'm doing the exact thing that I should be doing right now. Like I feel like fully aligned. You know what I mean? Like the stars have truly connected, and I am doing what I'm meant to be doing right now, which is Shuck the musical on Broadway. So I'm good. I'm happy. I'm tired. I'm navigating what it's like to do 8 shows a week. The schedule is no joke. I forgot what it was like, and now I'm in my 30s doing it, which is a challenge. but it's good. I am happy. I'm very happy.
I'm so glad. I mean, the show is a blast. Oh my God. And you, and is her name Ashley who plays the other storyteller?
Ashley D. Kelly, storyteller number one. Yeah.
Storyteller number one. You two have such good chemistry.
I love her so much.
She's so cute.
She is so cute. Yes. And I have leaned on her this whole time because I didn't know what these roles were until we had an audience. Even all throughout rehearsals, I was really frustrated. And I was like, I just can't figure this out. Like we come out basically, for those of you who hadn't seen it, and we narrate the story and talk directly to the audience. And we have all these amazing, funny puns. But in a rehearsal room, you know, you're doing the show for 5 people that have seen it a million times. And we don't really have scenes. We act with the audience, which now I realize is such a gift. But at the time I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And the moment we had our invited dress at the Nederlander Theater, it just clicked. And I was like, I'm like, this is so fun. And so
I was there. I was randomly there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Isn't that kind of fun? Well,
you saw me in real time realize that this was a great job. So
wasn't Maren Morris also there?
Oh yes, she was. Yes, she was there because Shane McAnally, one of our music writers, came up to me afterwards and he was like, well, I told him, I was like, was Maren Morris here? Because I'm a fan of hers. And he was like, yeah. And by the way, she said she couldn't stop looking at the male storyteller. And I was like, in a sexual way? And he was like, no, of course. Like she was just like, she really loved you in the show. And so that was like such a dream to hear.
No, oh for God. Real, you are so watchable, and you have that thing, that like Jane Krakowski thing where you can deliver a line.
Wow, that is the best compliment I've ever been paid, because she is everything, right?
Oh yeah.
She is everything. Dylan always jokes, she does what she does, but she does it really well.
Yes.
But
yes.
But she slays it though.
That's what this business is though. You have to find your lane and mm-hmm. not stick to it. Like obviously no one wants to be put into a box, but you have to find your magic and then just sprinkle that on everything you do. Mm-hmm. And then people start remembering you because they're like, oh, I don't see anyone else doing that. And the people that, I don't know, it's a really hard business, but you have to realize that you can never recreate what somebody else does. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I'm really trying to like realized by doing this on the heels of Mean Girls. At first, I was like, is this the same role I did in Mean Girls, a gay narrator in a musical comedy? But then I'm sort of owning the fact that I think this is my superpower. And I like am so lucky that I get to do it again and that people want me to do it again, you know?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that Taylor Trench played the role, because I don't necessarily, I hate this word, but I don't see you as the same type always. You know what I mean?
Not at all. Yeah, we're not at all.
I mean, I could have seen you doing what he did in Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, right.
For example, but I see him doing
Spring Awakening,
actually. Yeah, sure. I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm so tall. I mean, I think he is really singular in what he does. Mm-hmm. And I think, relating back to what I was just saying, I think that's what they were looking for in replacing him. Because they wanted someone to walk in and just show who they were and not to be a recreation of whoever Taylor is. And then that's what these parts are. That's why Ashley is so special too, because she is just a beautiful version of herself. And so we're on stage together and people feel like they know us and can connect to us. And it's challenging. It's challenging to play a version of yourself, because when you get notes, it's like, all right, well, then you're talking about me right now. But it is a character. I get to be sort of like blissfully unaware. This part is like really naive, and he's like giddy, and he's performing on Broadway, and he's aware of that. And there's like this sort of youth and almost Karen Smith-esque thing to him. There's a simplicity to Storyteller Number Two that I really love. And I consider myself to be a little more educated than him. So it is a transformation.
Do you use an accent?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So we're modern day narrators that sort of are the audience's window into the world of Cobb County. And yeah, amazing. And I don't want to give anything away, but it is basically just, I mean, we truly just, we let the audience in on what's going on and on the story. And then we get to jump in and out of it, which is really fun. Like I get to be a part of like a few musical numbers. And I even say like, I love this number, I'm going to join it. And
yeah. And oh, then that's fun.
Yeah, we play like these characters and put on hats and stuff. There's like a whole vaudeville bit that we get to do with John Bellman. It's really, really fun.
Dreamboat. Okay. Wait, yeah. So now I'm thinking you've worked with two of, in my opinion, the funniest book writers on Broadway, let alone, I mean, Robert Horn, absolute genius. His book for Tootsie was incredible. And then obviously Tina Fey, who need we say more? Are they in the room during rehearsals, rewriting jokes on the fly? Like, how does that go? I don't know how technical, we don't really get too technical on drama because I think some people think it's kind of boring, but yeah. I'm actually really curious. Like,
We're normally like, did you hook up in high school?
I know, fierce. Did I hook up a nice one? No. Tina, people were really surprised to hear how involved Tina was. And I was like, of course she was. Like, this Mean Girls is her baby, you know? And that sort of put her on the map in many ways when that film came out. Not that she was nobody before, but the movie was such a success that she really, really wanted it to do well on Broadway. And so, yeah, she had a major hand in casting, and she prides herself in casting things really well. And then was writing this incredible book on the fly. Like, I would be so impressed. She would come up to us in rehearsals and be like, she had written down like five options for one little joke and would sort of be like, okay, what do you think's funny? And I'd read them down the line, and they were all equally hilarious. And then we just got to play with it. And she's a genius, as is Robert Horn, who like has this amazing Rolodex of jokes. And wow. It's almost like this thing where on paper, you're like, is this going to fly? Is this going to work? And they really do come to life in such a way, which I think is a testament to the cast too. It's the people that are delivering them. I'm not saying that in the wrong hands, they might crash and burn. I think the book is really strong in itself, but yeah, two genius comedic writers I have worked with on Broadway. You're totally right.
And now you're a comedian as well. I mean, you even got to do Girls Five Eva, which is so fun.
Yeah, I played Tate in season two, and the role came through my manager, and she was like, this is you, you're this part. And also I had the connection with Tina, who is one of the producers of Girls Five Eva. But there, you know, I had worked with Tina on Broadway, and not that she didn't think I could work on TV. I mean, after working a little bit on TV and film, they are so different, right? It's almost like it's a different art form.
Okay.
The end of the day, it is the same thing, right? You have to just act, but doing it on set is a very different beast. And so, I had to put myself on tape for that. But luckily, since I knew people, I fast-tracked and got that part and everyone approved. It was so fun. I mean, that show, I think, is so special and so well-written. Meredith Scardino is the writer, creator, showrunner. And those girls, I mean, the cast is unbelievable. I mean, I would be lying if I told you I wasn't terrified when I walked on set, though, because all of my scenes were just with the four of them.
Right.
Busy, Sarah, Paula, and Renee. And it's terrifying. And I remember on one of my first days on set, I was talking to Busy in the makeup trailer, and she was like, "We're so excited to have you. This is," and then I was telling her, "Yeah, it's like, you know, I haven't really worked on TV much." She goes, "Yeah, it's tough to do what you're doing. Being a guest star on a half hour comedy is one of the hardest jobs on television because you have to come in and out. You don't get the privilege of being there every day, but you've got to meet us at our level and volley with us and be funny." And she wasn't trying to scare me, but I truly was just like, got it. Terrifying. And so it took me a while to find my footing with that, but I want to do more of it. I want to get it back on TV because towards the end of Girls 5, I got really comfortable and I was like, no, I'm walking away from it. So I hope I get to cut my teeth even further with some television stuff at some point.
I think you will. Wait, aren't they doing a season 3 on like Netflix or something?
Yeah, so they're moving the whole show to Netflix and they are finishing up season 3 right now.
Are you not in it?
Not in it, no. The arc of Tate sort of ended when, because I represented the Property Brothers record label, and so we didn't sign them at the end. And also spoilers, season 2, we didn't sign them. But yeah, they've been filming season 3 and no, I'm not in it. But maybe Tate will emerge at some other point. But also, we've been in shucked madness, you know, busy, crazy putting a new Broadway show up. So I don't really think I would have had time to anyway.
Yeah. And there's an album, right, for Shucked?
Yes. They've released a few songs. And then we are, I think it's coming out next week, May, early May, the whole album.
Cool.
Will come out. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I need to tell you, I saw the show The Invited Dress, and I can still sing you the hook to Independently Owned. I've never heard it since. Yesterday, I was singing it to Dylan, like on the phone earlier in the day. He calls me later and he is singing it back to me. That is how you know.
I've never even heard the song.
You've got a hit,
right? Wow. Yeah, that is such a good song. They've released that one already on iTunes. And Alex Newell, who sings that role and plays Lulu, is phenomenal. Yeah, there's a lot of really good hooks in the show. That's country music though too. There's the one that hasn't been released yet, but is always in my head, is called Woman of the World, which Caroline Interbickler sings. She plays Maisie. And all day long, I'm singing Woman of the World.
You're a woman of the world, Gray.
Yeah, Gray, you're a woman of the world.
ditto here. Yeah, everyone here is a woman of the world.
That's so fun. I cannot wait to hear you on another cast album. I mean, I absolutely love the Mean Girls cast album. Connor and I, we did the pink. You could like rush it in if you had to be wearing pink.
Oh, cool.
It was the thing originally. And then
we
you could
like
enter the lottery. And if you were wearing pink, you could get free tickets.
Oh, cool.
So that happened for us.
That happened for us I think one time. And ultimately it was amazing.
Oh my God.
And I always tell people I'm like quietly a Mean Girls stan because I loved it. It was so great.
Yeah, you have to, like, you know what you're getting into, right? It's, you're not going into Mean Girls thinking it's like high art, but then it was like, it was a good show and it was fun to do. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that experience like for you?
The whole experience? Amazing. I mean, also getting that role, I was terrified because I knew that part so well. I grew up with the movie. And so I could quote it. I knew exactly what Daniel Franzese did. I know how he acted through it. And I was terrified about trying to, we all were. Everybody was like, how do we recreate these iconic roles? But the gift of that whole process was Tina and her husband, Jeff Richmond, who wrote the music. They were like, we're creating this around you guys. And so they never wanted us to do anything like they did in the movie, because how can you?
Right.
And we were on stage, we were acting, and Damien was like a theater queen in the musical. So it was very different, but the process was incredible. And talk about like knowing something will be a hit. And so doing Shucked in contrast to Mean Girls is really fascinating, because Shucked is this sort of like underdog show that like people didn't know about, and like no names were really attached. And like it's not based on anything. But with Mean Girls, it's like we had a built-in fan base coming in. And so it was like highly anticipated, which was terrifying as well. But playing Damien was such a gift. I mean, I got to be like the more confident version of my high school self.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Now, you stayed with it for a few years. When you left Mean Girls, how were you feeling about Broadway in general and your career? Were you kind of like feeling like, okay, I'm done with this, I need a break? Or were you looking forward to something different? I mean, I guess the pandemic stopped all of that, but I guess I'm wondering where your head was at the time.
Yeah, that's a great question. Before Mean Girls, I did Book of Mormon for 4 years straight, right out of college.
Wow.
I know. And so I graduated from Carnegie Mellon, and then the month after started rehearsals for the tour. At the end of the tour, they asked me to join Broadway with a week in between those two companies. And so I did the whole show 4 years straight, like 1600 times around.
Oh my God. Were you Elder McKinley the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole time I played Elder McKinley, sang Turn It Off like 1600 times. And so
it
was amazing, but I was so young and it was my first job. And so I remember, imagine going from doing a show for 2 weeks, like you do in middle school, high school, college, to then doing it 8 times a week for 4 years straight. So, it really blew my mind. And there's no way to learn how to do that until you do it. And I think my little creative heart was sort of squashed. And it was such a bummer because that show is so much fun. And I had the time of my life doing it. But by the end of the 4 years, I was like really ready to leave. And then Mean Girls happened, and I was like, this is definitely my part. And I was lucky that I got in for that, and that ended up working out, obviously. But then by the end of Mean Girls, I wasn't as burned out as I was after Mormon, but I still was ready to do something new and to step away from playing a teenager. And I don't know, there was something that I feel like I needed to grow up a bit. And then I did like the TV and film, which was kind of out of necessity, right? Because theater wasn't back. And I was lucky to play that part on Girls 5-Eva. And then I did the small role in the Denzel Washington movie, which was also so random how that happened. Not to bring down the room, but I moved home to Georgia for 6 months in 2020 because my dad was sick. He had lung cancer and he was passing. And I was there to take care of him, which I would never have had that time if I was doing a show. And so it's this odd, like, you know, blessing of this pandemic. And I was like, I need to go be home and be with my family. And I know I'm a caretaker in that way. So I was like, I have to go do this. And so I helped my mom a lot and we took care of my dad. And then I was auditioning for a few things here and there. And I got this audition for Journal for Jordan, which was this Denzel Washington directed Sony Pictures movie starring Michael Jordan. And it was one of those auditions that came through that I was like, oh, why am I even trying? Like, what? And the part was this, like, you know, gay best friend, and it was a really small role. But at that point, I was like, I just have to put it on tape. So I was like landscaping my parents' backyard in Georgia. And then I like threw on a button down and went in the back room and put this on tape and Zoomed with my friend. And she read for me. And like a month later, I got a call from my manager, and they're like, so my Denzel Washington wants to see you for a callback in Brooklyn. And I was like, well, I can't. Like, I was driving my dad to Atlanta for all these appointments. And I was like, okay, that's wild, but can't be there. And then the like next day or so, I got a call, and they were like, well, they're just gonna give you the role based on your tape. He like liked your tape so much.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, okay. First of all, Denzel Washington is like, he is such a hand in all of these parts. Like, if you see the movie, like, it is so small and insignificant. But I had like 3 scenes and a few lines and whatnot. But so I came back to New York to film that. And then unfortunately, and I think maybe this is I don't know. It was weird timing. My dad passed like 2 weeks after I came back to New York, and I couldn't fly back because it was height of quarantine before vaccines. And I was filming that movie. And oddly, like, Denzel added me to a scene in the movie, which is when the lead girl gets the call that her husband has passed away. And I had to be there and comfort her. And he added me to that. It was the day after my dad passed. And like, it was very like, the timing of that was wild. And I was like, on set after getting that news and then going through this thing, and he found out, and Denzel came and talked to me, and it was, I don't know, I think my dad sort of waited until I came back to New York to pass. And so it was hard, obviously, being here, but I had just been there for 6 months and taking care of him. So that's how I got back into the city, and the timing was strange, and it was obviously emotional and difficult, but that's just kind of what kickstarted the work again. And then Girls 5 happened after that. And then the shucked of it all just started up in the winter of last year. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot how even this conversation started.
No, listen. That's I just okay. want to say you did not bring the room down at all. I really appreciate you opening your heart to our listeners. And we've all, you know, experienced different degrees of loss and whatnot over the years, but that's huge. And I think that that's really beautiful the way that you worded that.
I was lucky that I got to be there. Yeah, I think he waited and didn't really want to say goodbye. It's hard. It was hard. I think he was in denial too. And but it's complicated. But I got to be there for 6 months. And when would I ever have had that time, you know?
One of those strange ways that the universe sort of puts you where you're meant to be at the time.
I fully believe that happened.
Are you and your family doing okay?
Yes, everyone's doing really well. Yeah, it was the first time I really experienced loss, but you do learn so much about life through loss. So I'm grateful for the lessons and I'm grateful for the time I had there. And it has made me a lot closer to my family. Yeah, but everyone's doing really well. My mom's doing really well, actually. She like studied in Oxford this past summer. It was a lifelong dream. And she was like, I'm going to go study creative writing in Oxford. And so she left and did that. And you know, it is 100% death rate for all of us. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how you get there. But definitely difficult. And I think coming out of a pandemic and my dad's passing and all of this, like doing a show like Shuck, which is just joy, pure joy, is just like a dream. And that's why I'm like riding high on this show.
Oh, I can feel it.
I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
Now, I'm realizing we've gotten into so many different things, but I didn't get a chance to ask you what got you into this business in general.
Yeah, you mentioned you did ballet at a young age, but
yeah, we borrowed. That is a gag. We borrow and appropriate or misappropriate. I don't really know the right way to word it, but the term Ring of Keys from the graphic novel turned musical Fun Home, about that moment of recognition when you realized you wanted to be in the arts, whether it be you were consuming something or participating in something. Do you feel like you had a moment or moments that got you into the biz?
There's actually a really sweet, charming moment that is oddly captured on tape. So when I was really little, this is like maybe before I even started ballet, my mom took me to see a production of Cinderella, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. And it was at a local community theater. But I remember like Cinderella at some point, for some reason, like came up out of the ground. I don't know. It was like, it was absolute magic to me. And then my mom, this was like 93, right? And so my mom took me to Blockbuster because they were doing this thing where they could like, this is before everyone had cameras, I guess. And so you could bring your child into Blockbuster and put them in front of like a screen that shows their height and then their name on it. And they talk. So in case this child gets abducted, there's footage of your child to put on the news. I know it's dark, but like
Blockbuster.
I know. And I was standing there as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old kid. And my mom is like, talking to me from outside the camera, and you can see me. And she's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, Cinderella. I literally said, like, I want to be Cinderella when I grow up, because I had seen that production. And so my interpretation of that is like, oh, that's when I wanted to be a performer. And so I started ballet when I was 3 and then danced for a while. And then I hit puberty and I became what I call a linebacker in size, because I'm such a large person. I'm like tall and broad. And so my body never really lent itself to ballet. And I sort of was kind of falling in out of love with the art form, because it's very strict, beautiful, but like very demanding and strict and precise in the way that theater is so fluid. And so I had always done plays, but in high school, I really shifted and only did musicals and plays. And that's when I made the big switch and knew I wanted to study that and got into Carnegie Mellon and then Mormon, Mean Girls, Shucked. That's the whole entire story. Cinderella to Shucked.
Yeah. Cinderella to Shucked.
Sweet. Did you ever get to be in Cinderella in high school or anything? Or
well, yeah, I did actually. I did a production of it in high school, but I was not Cinderella. I played like, I don't know. No, but this was middle school. I was like in the ensemble of Cinderella. So I did get to do a production of it, but I fell in love with it when I was 3.
Did you love the Brandy, Bernadette Peters, Whitney,
of
Whoopi? Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I was obsessed with that one too. But it was that stage production. I remember just, and I think it could have been any musical, right? It was just the first time I had seen something like that, where these actors were like feet away from me and they were like bringing something to life. It's so different than watching something on TV. And then, you know, you have the chance to meet those people afterwards. That's what's so cool. That's why I try to do the stage door every night, because it's so special. You get to watch these people work and then like go talk to them. I try to do that every night. It's trippy for me always.
That's so
I saw a
sweet.
play. I saw a play last night. I saw the sign in the window of Sidney Bernstein's office. I think, is that the name?
There's a lot of words. Yeah, I think the gist is there.
Yeah, I saw a play last night that starred Oscar Isaac and Rachel Brosnahan. The title is something. And I remember sitting there being like, oh my gosh, I've seen this person, Oscar Isaac, Rachel. I've seen them on screen. And now they're just like sweating and talking right here in front of me. It is so cool. It's so cool and exciting. And I try to remind myself of that. You know,
were they good?
Amazing. They're amazing. The show is really special. And their performances are like unreal.
Now, when you were in Book of Mormon, did you ever do it with Gavin?
Yeah. Yeah, we're really close because of that. We opened the first national tour together. So he was cool. Elder Price and I was Elder McKinley. We met on the first day of rehearsals. It was my 22nd birthday, July 2nd, 2012.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't really know anyone in the city. And I just moved there from college to do the first national tour of Mormon. And Gavin took me out to dinner that first night on my birthday. He was like, it's your birthday? You're not doing anything? And I was like, no. So he took me to Dinosaur Barbecue in Harlem. And he left our tour after, I think, San Francisco in the first 6 months to go open the London production on the West End.
Okay.
But we got really close and we're still super close. Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you think he'll get nominated for Into the Woods?
Yeah. I mean, he should. He's one of the most amazing performers of all time and really made something so special of that role, which is a really fun role. But Gavin, like I said before, like, really talented performers put their own magic on things, and he did that so beautifully in that production. It is funny though, that production was like, it feels like a long time ago, but it is in this season. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. I hope he gets nominated. I feel like it was an iconic performance from this season. Yes.
And he's still doing it. He's doing it on the road.
Right. Yeah. You're right. All day.
Yeah. So. I can, it's so funny. Like, I've really tried to stop thinking about this kind of thing, especially while doing a show that is like, yeah, for it, because it will drive you crazy. It will really drive you crazy.
I can only imagine.
And the Mean Girls of it all was like exciting because it was a surprise. And like, I don't like, my role is small on this and I don't really expect anything to come out of this show for me. And so it's kind of nice to sort of take a back seat and get to watch it. But still, it's like, oh, you don't want to want it. You don't want to make it the thing that you think about because it's about so many other things. But as an outsider, like, I would love to watch and predict all of this stuff, but in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know. And I try not to think about it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get that out of the way. We'll get that out of the way because we need to move into our dose of drama. So we're sadly wrapping up. This is our titular segment. It's where we just kind of get to chat about anything that's on our mind or on our hearts, anything that maybe we're thinking about or is coming up. We haven't talked about Drag Race yet. So my dose of drama is the cast of All Stars 8 has been revealed. And I have heard through the grapevine, Gray, that you are a Drag Race aficionado as well. And that you are very much in it. I just want to say, I think I'm rooting for Darian Lait. And I know that sounds silly, but she is a slay. And she absolutely dominated in one of the most stacked seasons ever, season 6. And I think that she's final four.
Yeah, really? I agree. I think I'm most excited to see what she does because season 6 is one of my favorite seasons of all time. And I agree. She really held her own. Yeah. It was really good television. Okay. And I don't know. I think a lot of the girls I love watching All Stars because you can see what they do, how they settle into themselves after watching themselves. Because you know when, like, I mean, you guys ever see yourself in something, you're like, that's what I do, that's how I am. And so the awareness is sometimes toxic, but also I think helpful. And so I think, like, Darian, it's been how many years? Has it been 10 years maybe since she's
I
done was, it?
Yeah, I think that one's the next one to hit 10 years.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she
almost does. Yeah, because season 15 just aired, so it's like, yeah, if there's a season a year, it's like 10 years. Wow. She'll be good.
Who else are y'all excited about?
Well, I was going to say, I love when they come back after being away for so long, like seeing Kylie, Sonique Love, or, you know, well, All Winners was a different story. That was incredible.
With James and Raja and everything.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch what Jimbo does.
Yes.
Jimbo is fascinating to me and very unique. And I love to see.
A good word. Good word.
Yes. I love to see like what filter they use. like how they filter all the challenges and stuff, because it's never like the way anyone else does anything. I'm trying to like, I'm looking up who, oh, obviously like producer Candy Muse will be entertaining.
I think I kind of want her to win. I know that sounds crazy, but I think she's like one of the most interesting characters to come out of Drag Race ever.
Totally agree. I also think Heidi and Closet will do really well.
Oh yeah. Love Heidi. I'm
looking at who else is.
Well, we got Kasha Davis, who is besties with Darian in real life. So we might be getting a little alliance. Yeah, they do like a drag brunch in Rochester every Saturday and Sunday. It's like a thing they do.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Wait, also James Mansfield, I'm so fascinated by. Like, yes. Because they were first out, right?
Yeah, we have two first outs, James Mansfield and Kahana Montrese.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. And Alexis Michelle. I love the theater queen of it all with Alexis Michelle. Like I'm also all of their looks were incredible for the reveal.
The best.
And you know who did the photographs is Matt Murphy, who does all of the Broadway shows. Yes. He like posted that he did those pictures and I was like, that's why they look so good.
Oh yeah. It's so glamorous. Alexis Michelle, I have to say, early friend of the pod, one of our first ever guests that we had, and she is so iconic, and I think that she's going to slay. I think she's going to be someone who saw herself on TV and is going to be like, I'm back with a vengeance.
I think so too. Yeah, and it has a really great like awareness, because you do watch people that go on it for the first time thinking they know what they do, and then the world is like, girl, we don't see you that way. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I wish we all had that experience. I wish like I could be on a TV show so I could be like, okay, I can work out all the kinks of gray through the eyes of millions of people, you know, which is like being thrown to the wolves, but.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know the song Clapped that like Alexis Michelle, Sasha Velour, Aja, and
no, I don't.
Peppermint did. It was like they were like the four New York queens from season 9. They created this song called Clat. It's like club legend art theater. Alexis Michelle has this verse about theater where she says, as a little boy, I lived for the drama. Now I just want you to feel mama. And I think I just love the way that she does that. I think that's like,
That is camp. That's
maybe she says as a little girl. I don't want to misgender young Alexis Michelle.
Google the lyrics.
Yeah, we'll find out. That's fun as hell. I can't wait.
That's my drama. Connor, do you have a dose of drama?
Let me think. I do. Okay, on the topic of reality TV, I'm feeling very burnt out by My Housewives.
Oh.
And I never thought I would say this because it honestly, when the pandemic started, it got me... It became my obsession. Like any reality TV, specifically Bravo, really kept me motivated. I think because at a time when we were all shut away, not able to experience life, I was watching versions of reality on television playing out that were, it was almost comforting to me to like see the Real Housewives of New York or the cast of Summer House, like being in New York or being in and around the city and life kind of going on in a way when we were like trapped for those first few months specifically. But I don't know. Lately, I'm just feeling like it's not hitting like it used to. I don't know if it's because the shows are evolving in a way where they all the women have this awareness of what they're on, or if it's just too many things at once. Like I'm literally in 1 week watching like The Ultimate Girls Trip. I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, New Jersey.
A lot.
Now Atlanta's coming back.
So, I think you're right in that the same way of Drag Race. It has evolved because it's been on for so long, right? And so in the beginning, it was messy in a way that was like really refreshing. I'm unfortunately not a huge Housewives gay, and
that's
also
okay.
I was on like I was the bartender on Watch What Happens Live once during Mean Girls, like for press reasons, and Andy like right before we started was like, is so excited because I was like a gay, right? Playing this iconic gay role in the show. And he's like, you watch Housewives? Because he wanted to like volley with me. And I was like, no. And I completely like screwed up my whole appearance on that show because I didn't know anything about Housewives. But
do you remember do you remember who the guests were on that episode?
It was, I don't remember their names, but it was these two people from that reality show on Bravo about like the South.
Oh, Southern Charm.
Southern Charm, yes. Yes.
Were they men?
It was a man and a woman.
Okay. I wonder who it was. Was it a redhead named Catherine Calhoun Dennis?
No. She was like really pretty, curvy. And then the guy kept on looking at me, be like, I think I know you. Where are you from? And I was like, Macon, Georgia. And he kept on thinking we were like friends or grew
up
together.
Probably Shep or Craig or Austin.
Come on, names.
I know. You know the whole cast. Great. I know all of these. It's really sick. It exists in this bizarre place of my brain that's just
I'll send
a
you a picture
model.
of the three of us from
Oh
that,
yeah.
and
Oh,
you'll
that's so
figure it
cute.
out.
So was it just
I would
you
love
bartending,
that.
or did they send like Barrett or?
No, it was just me. Yeah, I
Oh,
just
that's
got to do
cool.
that solo style, which was very fun. But like I said, I wish I had watched lots of Housewives because then I could have volleyed with Andy and made a bigger impact on the show. But
What was the coolest bit of press you got to do when you were on Mean Girls, when you're in it?
coolest press. I mean, anytime we got to like chat with Tina was really cool. Like we did panels with Tina and it was always so fun to like hear her talk about the show and then like talk with her about it. I got
Y'all
to
did
go.
SNL, right?
SNL was so fun, yes. And that was a pre-recorded sketch we got to
Yeah.
do. And then we got to go backstage and kind of watch parts of it live while it was happening, which was fun. And then I got to go to Drag Con and do a panel with Daniel Franzese and the real Damien from Tina's childhood, who the character is based on.
Oh,
It's
I didn't know
actually,
that there was a the source material.
yeah. And so she grew up with these two brothers, actually. One was named Damien and one was Jim, and they're both gay. And the character is based on sort of both of them, but she loved the name Damien so much. And so, yeah. And so Damien and Jim Holbrook were also there. And so we did like a Damien panel at Drag Con, which was really
That's
fun.
so fun. Did like a
Yeah.
Rue girl moderate it or something, or?
No, a Rue Girl didn't, but of course I got to meet a lot of them there,
That's
which was
so
really fun.
cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Gray, do you have a dose of drama to send us home with?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about reality TV shows, I do watch Survivor. I'm a Survivor gay. Is
Okay.
anyone here a Survivor gay?
Peripherally keep up with the names and stuff, but nothing.
Okay,
I'm
well,
crushing on someone on the new season, but.
oh, fun. Oh, yeah. Wait, which one?
He's like kind of twinky, but kind of like muscle
Yes.
twink. Okay.
He looks like Peter Parker. He looks
Yeah.
like Tom Holland.
I've
Yeah.
seen him on Twitter.
Okay. In what capacity?
Well, I'll say after
Okay,
the
great. Anyway, I'm watching this new season and there's this, I'm not caught up, but there's an incredible woman on it, Carolyn or Caroline. I'm actually bad with her names, but she's a gay icon. And anyone that
Oh.
is watching the show and listening to the pod will know what I mean. She's one of the best people ever on that show. Yeah, I got into Survivor over the pandemic because it's like similar to Drag Race in that like I just love competition, but also when they dive into their personal lives. So it's like when you get to know these people and their personalities clash and then you watch them compete. Oh, it's so satisfying. Also, I'm like convinced I could win Survivor. Like for some weird twisted reason, I believe that I could get on that show and like totally crush for some reason. I don't know why.
It's like we were Big Brother people for a while, and it's like similar, right? It's like social game, and there's also actual challenges.
Yes, yeah, the social game is more important than I think people think, right? And then you have to be like good at challenges, but not good enough to be a threat, which I think I could pull off, but I'm like really secretly competitive. Anyway, so my weird fantasy is that I get to go be on Survivor. Also, though, I know another friend of the pod, Erica Henningsen, was on, and we've been joking about applying for The Amazing Race together.
Oh, I would love to see the two of you do that. You
Right?
have
And so
to.
we got together and we're like cooking dinner and drinking one night. We watched a few episodes and we're like, I think we could do this. And so that might be in our future at some point.
Yeah, okay.
I
But I
love that
think
none
you and
of that's
Erica.
real drama, but you
No,
know.
it is. It is. It is.
It's
Okay.
drama because
Life is drama, baby.
life is drama. That's what we've been saying lately. Life drama is everything. I love how close you and Erica are. That's.
Yes. And Kyle, see, like, yes, they're both amazing people, Kyle and Erica. We got really close. I mean, Erica feels like a sister to me. She feels like absolutely like we are cut from the same cloth, and I want to like wring her neck and then like never let her go. Like we are so close in the way siblings are. And yeah, I love her to death.
Really quick before we go, I know we keep say saying we're like about to sign off and then we don't, but we just are obviously obsessed with you.
No, totally fine.
You're calling in from your dressing room in the Nederlander. Do you know who else has had that dressing room before you, or is it
Ooh.
like not one of those situations where like it
No,
says on the wall or something?
I am just as obsessed with this kind of shit like as you guys because I love like the history of buildings. And the biggest shame I think about the Nederlander is that they haven't preserved anything from Rent. Like when the show was here, like the walls were covered with stuff and like I think the alleyway for our stage door used to be like covered with signatures on the wall and they didn't even like save a portion of
They
it. It's all been
trashed
It's all been painted over. Yeah. And so, which I guess I understand, but it's such an iconic show that was in such an iconic theater. I wish there was like a little corner that was like, oh, this was a rent thing. You know, I die for
The newsies
that.
came in and they would not have it.
The newsies wanted a full clean slate. No, I don't know. But I know that Shoshana Bean was just in this dressing room for Mr. Saturday Night.
Mother.
Mother, of course. So good juju. And then I think during Rent, this was shared with it was Angel and someone else.
Okay, cool.
So the Angel was definitely here, which also is good, like queer juju. So
Totally.
happy to be in this room. And I share with the lovely John Bellman, who's not here right now, but he plays Gordy in the show and is just a tall, strapping, amazing straight man.
Yes, a
He's so
standout
hot.
from Tootsie for those who remember.
Yes. And
And significant other, right?
yes, significant other in Tootsie.
I
Yeah.
know.
He's also just the best human being alive. So we are very happily together. I joke and I say that we're the Bellmans together. I have taken his name and his wife is not happy about it, but I am the show wife.
That's cute. Wait,
Yeah.
who was your dressing roommate at Mean Girls?
Kyle Selig, who played
Oh
Aaron.
my God, I love
Yes.
that.
And Kyle and I went to college together. I was a few years older than him. We went to college together. We ended up doing Mormon together and then did Mean Girls together.
Okay.
But we had a long
That's really
history.
cool.
Where's your
Yeah.
I know we should. That's true.
So did
I
you
don't know where
share
it
with
would go.
Cameron Dallas for a brief minute?
I did. Yes. Cameron
Interesting.
Dallas, the stunt casting
Yes.
for Mean Girls. And I have to break it to you. He was so sweet. He was
I
so
love that.
kind. I know people really want to know like what that was like. And
Yeah.
I think for him, it was probably really overwhelming to come. He, you know, never really acted a day in his life and was going to be on Broadway. And so
Yeah.
he was really scared and nervous. And he was sweet. He was very sweet. It
Oh,
was
he's such a cutie.
short. He was very cute. The funniest thing I like to say about his time at Mean Girls when we shared a dressing room was he was the one that was telling me about TikTok, because he was like,
Oh.
okay, this is going to be the next big thing. And he is really good. I mean, obviously his career has been built on social media and via, like,
Was
it
he
was Vine.
Vine? Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
Vine. And so he was like keenly aware of all of those things. And so he was the one that was like, great, like, let's do this TikTok together. And I was like, I'm okay, I don't care about that. And it was like he wanted to do this TikTok where, like, I would lay down. Yeah, get ready. I would lay down, I open my mouth, I know, stay with me, and then he would like pour cereal in my mouth and milk and then eat out of it like a bowl. And he pitched that idea to me and I like shut it down immediately. But I regret it because
I know.
I might be TikTok famous now.
I know. Wow. I would have paid to let him do that to me, but that's here
I
and there. Listen,
know. I
Gray,
know.
you are a damn delight. Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Oh my God. Yay. And
Yay.
everyone needs to go see you in Shucked. Funniest show that has hit Broadway in years. And
Yeah, it's a
you're
really good time.
so good in it.
Thank you. You're just at Gray Henson on Instagram, right?
At Gray Henson on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I don't tweet or even look at it because, you know. But
That's
yeah,
for the best.
Instagram at Gray Henson on Instagram.
Amazing. And of course, everyone who doesn't follow us yet, we're at The Drama Podcast. I am at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. And thank you again, Gray. You are wonderful.
Thank you.
Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
Drama.